Welcome to the Pope St. John the 23rd Vocation Podcast with Monsignor William Fay. Here at Pope St. John the 23rd Seminary, we realize it's never too late to respond to God's call. If you're a man 30 or older, discerning a possible call to the priesthood, or someone who supports these later vocations, this is the podcast for you.
Welcome, everybody. You're at the podcast from Pope St. John the 23rd Seminary that we call Never Too Late, because this is a seminary that welcomes men 30 years and older who come here to become priests. They are sent here by their diocesan bishop or their religious superior, and they spend some time here in formation, and at the end of it, successfully completed, they're ordained priests in their own dioceses. I'm very, very happy today to welcome with us Deacon John Tanyi, who is a deacon of the Archdiocese of Boston, a transitional deacon. He'll be ordained to the priesthood here in the Archdiocese of Boston next May. It was on May 13th of this year that you were ordained a deacon. Yes. So welcome, John. It's lovely to have you here.
Thank you, Monsignor. I'm glad to be here.
Good. John comes to us from the English-speaking region of Cameroon in West Central Africa. And how long have you been here in the States now, John?
It's now 5.5 years.
5.5 years you've been here.
Yes.
John grew up in a very, very Catholic family. In fact, we were just talking before broadcast that John describes his family as his first seminary. Why don't you talk about that a little bit, John? Why you have that image in your mind of your family being like a seminary?
Yes, Monsignor. My family is a traditional Catholic family. My father was a headmaster in Catholic schools for almost 50 years, and so we always lived next to the church. But at certain point in time, we built our own house, and we had to walk to church, 45-minute walk every day. By 5 a.m., we are on the way, myself, my siblings, and my parents, and we prayed the rosary as we went to church every morning. Going to Mass was a given every morning, and we always started with our morning prayers. By 4:30, we are up. It was not always easy, but Mom made sure we are up and we pray together, and she always said, a family that prays together stays together. And we did that every day. We also prayed in the evening. So in the mornings, we will say our devotion at 4:30, and then after that, we will be walking to church. It is still dark, and we prayed the rosary as we walk to church. That was life growing up. And there were many, many good values I learned from that. I learned how to pray the rosary early in the morning as we walk to church. I learned how to lead prayers when we met in the evening to pray together as a family before we went to bed. And in all our family meetings, there were virtues that our father always insisted we must practice and we must make them a habit. And so that is why I think, and I'm very convinced, that my family was my first seminary. My family was a domestic church which trained me in all these values that I practice today.
That's a great thing. How old were you, John, when you first began to think about the priesthood?
Yeah, it is funny, Monsignor, because Mom says that at the age of 7, I mentioned to her that I wanted to be a priest. Indeed, she said the statement was, Mommy, one day you will call me Reverend John Tanyi. I think this, my infant attraction to the priesthood was mainly because my father was a headmaster, and at certain point we lived in the mission station. And so I always saw the priest, especially the missionaries. They walked around in their white cassocks, and I always wanted to wear a white cassock. And so, but from childhood, I was always thinking of the priesthood. I went to a Catholic school. I was supposed to go to a minor seminary so that after the minor seminary, I would go to a major seminary, but I missed the interview date. But I remember in this Catholic, my secondary school, St. Joseph's College, Sasse, people were already calling me Father John. I was a sacristan, and my attention was always geared towards becoming a priest.
Isn't that great? You know, if you had that image of yourself in a white cassock, maybe it is that the Lord is going to call you to be Pope someday, and you'll be our Holy Father. We don't wear white cassocks here in the North, you know?
You know, yeah, that is true. In Cameroon, the priests, they like wearing white cassocks.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Well, it's a more tropical kind of area.
It is, so. It is.
When did you said you came to the United States 5.5 years ago. What was it that was in your mind when you were coming here? Were you coming for a short time, or did you think, I'm actually emigrating from Cameroon, and I'm going to make America my new home?
No, indeed, I never wanted to be based in America. I always wanted to visit America and then go back. Mm-hmm. But when I came here 5.5 years ago, I was coming to study at Boston College because I had been a lecturer of international politics at the Catholic University of Eastern Africa in Nairobi for 7 years, and I had not taken a sabbatical. And at this point, the university insisted I must take a break. And praise God, I knew some Jesuit friends, and they told me about Boston College, and I applied, and I got a scholarship
Good
to
for
come
you.
And study. So the original plan was to come for 2 years, study at Boston College, and then go back teaching at the Catholic University of Eastern Africa.
And somehow the vocation slipped in again.
And somehow it slipped in again through so many people. Mm-hmm. When I turned 30, at that point I thought my vocation to the priesthood was over. Mm. And I wrote in my diary that in my journal, I was going to serve the Lord in other ways. Mm-hmm. Through writings, I love writing about the faith, about the diplomacy of the church. I was going to serve the Lord through catechesis. I used to help out at a parish. I did adult catechesis. Mm-hmm. So at that point, I said it was over. Mm-hmm. But then when I came, and some people started bringing it up, especially Father Maurice Agboyebaye, and I laughed it off at first. But once I was invited to Pope St. John the 23rd Seminary, and I listened to Cardinal Sean, and the cardinal, I remember asking him that I'm already 34, almost 35, I think I'm too old. And the cardinal said, how old were the apostles? And the cardinal spoke to us about second career vocation. Mm-hmm. And at that point, by the time I left Pope St. John the 23rd Seminary, I was convinced I was going to apply Good. To come back to the seminary. Good.
Deacon John mentioned Father Maurice, who's a very close friend of his, who teaches at the seminary here in Boston for younger men. And he's quite prolific and articulate. He teaches at the seminary there, but he's also written a number of books, and they're quite engaging. The latest one that I remember was he's done a book on Pope Benedict, and then he did on the life of the church in Africa very, very much, you know. So he was instrumental.
He was very, very instrumental, and we spent many hours talking about it. We spent many hours before the Blessed Sacrament. Mm-hmm. And when I told him I was going to apply, he told me, please, could you write a letter? Even though you and I were very close, we are cousins, we are good friends, could you sit in front of the Blessed Sacrament and write this letter that you are now serious, you want to go back to mm-hmm. the seminary, mm-hmm. which I did. And he actually dropped me off the first day I came to the seminary. I didn't have a car. Furthermore, it was very symbolic for him to bring me to the seminary, and he took me to the chapel and to my room, and hugging him at the end of it all with tears in my eyes, this new life I was going to begin. Mm. So Father Maurice played a big role.
Yeah. You mentioned that you didn't have a car. You actually only recently got your license here in Massachusetts.
Yes.
How's driving been as an experience for you?
It has been great. I used to drive in Africa, but when I came to the US, I had not driven for a while. And I recently got a car thanks to a great friend who is now a priest, Father Binha.
Ah.
He was generous. He is the one who gave me the car as a gift. And since I got my license, it's been wonderful. I've driven, I've never gotten a ticket.
Good.
Yes, and I think I'm doing well. And it has made movement very easy for me now.
Good for you. Yeah, good for you. Yeah. Well, it's a delight. You mentioned along the way that you had an interest in the diplomacy of the Catholic Church. A lot of our listeners might not be aware that the art and the structure of diplomacy was something that was really invented by the Vatican as a peacekeeping way of having countries interact with each other. How did you first get interested in this, Deacon John? And you've actually written a book that is at the editor's desk now to have some work done on it. How did you get involved in looking at the diplomacy in the church?
Yeah, before, thank you, Monsignor. Before coming to the seminary, I did some studies, and one of them, I did a graduate studies in diplomacy. And it was in the course of my studies of diplomacy that we actually talked about papal diplomacy, the diplomacy of the church, the diplomacy of the Pope. And it was from that class, well, I'd known it before, but it was during my graduate studies in diplomacy that I realized that the Pope and the Holy See has been very instrumental in the issue of diplomacy in the last 2,000 years. Mm-hmm. And that the Holy Father, popes have been very, very consequential in history. Many people will think popes are religious leaders, head of the Catholic Church. Yes, that is the primary mandate of the Pope, Peter's successor, a bridge builder, the head of this religion. However, the Pope is also a head of state, and the Pope plays a big role in international system, international politics. So I was very, very touched. I was very, very surprised when I learned of the history of diplomacy, how instrumental popes have been. And in my years growing up, there was this great Pope of John Paul II. He came to my country, Cameroon, twice. And it was a big, big thing in Cameroon. I remember when he came in 85 and in 95 when I was a young boy. And so when John Paul died in 2005, I was in a seminary in a missionary congregation in Uganda. And I used to follow news, and it was as if the whole world had come to a standstill. Mm. You go to every news media was talking about the Pope, and world leaders paid him great tributes. Mm. And I was touched when the famous U.S. Former Secretary of State, Henry Kissinger, described John Paul as the most consequential figure in the last quarter of the 20th century. And Mikhail Gorbachev and other world leaders. Mm. And so I took great interest in studying the diplomacy of the Pope and the Church.
There's no question of the influence that he had in the world. They tell the story that when he went to Warsaw, he put a question before the people there, and he said, "Do you want your lives focused on yourselves, or do you want your life focused on God?" And spontaneously, the people broke out and started crying out in Polish, "We want God." And they say that the dictator at the time, Jaruzelski, turned to someone next to him and said, "It's over."
Yeah, that is true. I've watched that many times. Very, very powerful, and I talk about it.
Yeah.
And I love reading those speeches. Indeed, people always talk about that his June 1979 visit to Poland. That was the start of the end of communism in Eastern Europe.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was a great pilgrimage to Poland.
Yeah. And it was in the late 80s and early 90s that the whole thing came completely to
a
halt.
That is true.
And Gorbachev has got to be recognized as being an influential person, you know, with his themes of perestroika. Remember
perestroika,
that?
Yes.
And glasnost.
Glasnost, yes.
Yeah. And the openness that he had to talk to people, which was amazing.
Yeah, actually, when I was doing my studies in diplomacy, I wrote a paper on Gorbachev. And I was surprised to see that Gorbachev, as a young boy, he was actually baptized. So he became like the first communist leader who was baptized. Mm-hmm. And I liked his openness. He was a great figure when I studied his openness to the Vatican, to the Holy See. Indeed, in 1989, he visited the Holy See mm-hmm. with his wife. And I remember this scene. He had to send a delegation to the Holy See to ask, what should my wife wear coming to this function? And interestingly, when the news of the overture of Gorbachev reached John Paul, he was celebrating Mass in Budapest. It was during Mass when it was whispered to the Holy Father that Gorbachev had been overthrown, and the Holy Father offered some weight of support to President Gorbachev at the end of Mass.
No, it was an amazing time. You're getting ready to start your last year here at Pope St. John. How's your experience been?
No, it has gone fast. When I first came, and the upperclassmen used to say, it goes fast. I thought that was just a cliche that they would say too, but it has gone very fast, and it has been a very, very wonderful time for me. Indeed, it was not so easy making the decision to come to the seminary after. I really enjoyed my years as a teacher, as a lecturer in the university. So making this decision, I really spent time before God. Once I made a decision and I came here, that was it. I've been very, very happy. So the formation, the four parts of formation has been wonderful. And I'm studying in a great place with men from all over the country, from different parts of the world. Very experienced men, and the faculty has been very, very supportive. So it has been a wonderful moment, opportunity for me, Monsignor.
John mentioned the four dimensions of formation that we have here at Pope St. John, and that's the case in every seminary in the world. It's really given to us as a core from the Vatican. And those four areas that we watch are human formation. How's the man doing humanly? Does he relate well with other people? Does he show signs of being able to be a leader, which is what a priest is supposed to do? There's the spiritual dimension that builds on the human. We've all heard the expression, grace builds on nature. So we want to have a healthy human person, and a person who is deeply spiritual, is in love with the Lord. And then there's the academic piece. Sometimes people think that that's the most important piece. It really isn't. It's as important as the other three really are. And then, of course, the pastoral dimension. And John has been in a parish all summer long and will be going there every weekend. And please God, will have an opportunity to preach. In fact, did you by lot end up being the first deacon who's going to preach at Pope St. John? Did I hear that?
Yes, that is true, Monsignor. I think our class president sent out the list, and I think I will go first. So I really look forward to this opportunity.
Good for you.
By the way, I am doing a lot of preaching at the parish. Yes, I preach almost every other day.
Good
and
for you.
It is a good learning experience for me.
Good for you. And you've got that public presence from your university teaching, so that I'm sure has been very helpful to you.
It has been helpful standing in front of students for many years, presenting at conferences.
Yeah.
All this is coming in handy now in my preaching.
That's wonderful. Well, I thank you very much for joining me today and for having this conversation. I know it's very helpful to men who are in their middle age and are thinking about the priesthood to hear your story and the things that have been motivating you. And I hope it's also helpful to those of you who tune into us and pray for us and support us in so many different ways. We're really so grateful for the attention that you give us. Continue to keep us in prayer, and we'll look forward to being with you at our next podcast. You know, we publish these on the 23rd of the month after John the 23rd. So God bless you all, and we promise to keep you in our prayers as well.
Thank you, Monsignor.
Thank you for listening, and be sure to check out our website at www.psjs.edu. Remember, the first step to answering God's call is making the call. 781-899-5500.